Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Well, this is going to be a different topic altogether. There is a, you know, a lesson here as well that Katie Verderber wants to share, and it's that you can still achieve whatever dreams you may have despite illness or disability. Katie Valier, Montana, went to Western Montana and then Syracuse University for law, and then was a JAG officer as well. Now practicing in Montana, and Katie, good morning and welcome and congratulations. Katie has been selected to be with Team USA in the Paralympics in Italy here, and that's coming up in early March, as a matter of fact, with wheelchair mixed curling. Katie, congratulations on that. That feels pretty good. I mean, how does it feel to be a part of Team USA?
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, it's still pretty surreal. I don't think it's quite sunk in yet, the gravity and magnitude of what we're about to do. I'm obviously very, very grateful and honored to have the opportunity to continue to represent the USA wearing our colors in Italy in March. So exciting, but still surreal.
Yeah. How do you prepare? And this is, wheelchair mixed curling. I've done some curling. Curling is fun. I think people love to watch it during the Winter Olympics. And it's certainly been, I think, growing in the West for a lot of reasons as well. I'm just very curious as how you got into the sport and maybe back up to and talk about your military career there and how you wound up with spinal injuries.
Yes. So, after I graduated law school from Syracuse, I commissioned into the Army as a JAG officer, as you mentioned. And so I practiced law for the Army in a few different areas. I did a lot of now national security law, operational law, deployed to Afghanistan, ended up coming home, needed to have some back surgeries after some injuries that took place, and kind of was a very prolonged process that led to my eventual medical retirement, September of 2023. Just 2 short weeks later, I actually had to have another emergency surgery to try to correct some issues that weren't corrected in the Army, and unfortunately, it was not successful. And since October 3rd of 2023, I have been in a wheelchair, diagnosed as a T10 incomplete paraplegic. So I have essentially not a lot of control or any sensation from my belly button down. And kind of with that whole process, I ended up in the hospital for about 3.5 months in Seattle at the VA. And while I was there, they kind of started talking about, you know, adaptive programs and other sports that you can get involved in to try to, you know, encourage us that life continues on in a wheelchair. And I got really focused on downhill skiing. Obviously, growing up in Montana, everybody gets to a mountain, and that was something that the VA kind of helped encourage. And I got involved with an organization called Dream Adaptive out of Whitefish. An amazing recreational program. I think I probably credit to any success I've had since ending up in a wheelchair. It was just, they were so encouraging and supportive, and kind of, they have summer programs and winter programs that get you out there, and they have all the equipment. So we ended up going up to Whitefish. I started skiing. I had my first lesson the weekend after I got out of the hospital, and I took to it. And my whole goal was to get the VA to buy me my own sit ski. As you can imagine, adaptive equipment is not cheap. And so that was my focus. And in part of all of that, the VA does this really great program, the Winter Sports Clinic. It's in Aspen, Colorado, every March, April timeframe. And they do downhill skiing as kind of the focus, and snowboarding for veterans with disabilities, whether it's a spinal cord or neurological. They even have visually impaired skiers that participate in this. And I went up there with the focus of show the VA, my recreational therapist from Seattle was there, that I could ski, buy me a ski. This is what I needed to kind of start healing.
Go ahead.
As I say, and as a result of being there, they told me I couldn't ski every single lesson. I had to do a different sport while I was there. And it was going to the hot springs or going snowmobiling and fishing, you know, things I've done growing up. And so the only other alternative was to try curling. And what I can remember about curling is probably what most people realize is, oh, that's that sport we won a gold medal in, I don't know, like 2018 at the Winter Olympics, right? And I said, what? Let's go try it. And I went and I threw a few stones. I'm confident they had to have been terrible. But the former coach of Team USA was there and he pulled me aside afterwards and kind of started my journey there. Took my information down. I maybe was a little crass. I kind of had said something along the lines of, I think you just probably picked two veterans to feel better about yourself and think we need your pity after every session. But sure, here's my number. I guess. And they called me, and it's just been going since then.
That's great. And I want to hear more about that, too. Katie Verderber, again, is with us. She is attorney at Silverman Law Office. So they've got offices around the state of Montana, so still practicing as well. And one of the messages you want to share is that you can still achieve your dreams despite the illness or disability. But that also comes, it's not just a physical journey. There's a mental journey that goes along with that. And maybe you could share what your mental journey was that helps others, you know, get along in their mental journey.
Yeah, so I think the first step is just realizing that it is, you know, an ongoing and probably forever battle that you'll deal with. You know, there's good days and bad days, even this far out post-injury, that I still have bad days, of course, and I have great days. And I think I was so fortunate. I have an amazing family support. My wife has been incredible through this whole process. My family, my in-laws, and our friends just kind of always encouraging me and forcing me to get out and do things. And I think it truly changed the course of my life post-injury. You know, I credit a lot of that to my family and our friends. And like I said, Dream Adaptive, because you got to get out there. If you don't, it's really easy to get sucked in and grieve. And you need to grieve, though, and I think that's important and maybe a step I kind of missed in the beginning. I got so involved so quickly and kind of got myself so busy that I didn't focus on grieving my loss and the challenges that came with that. And so I was a little delayed in that, and I'm still working through all of that. But it's important to remember you're still going to have bad days, and it's okay. And it's okay to enjoy the good days and appreciate what you do have. But it's okay to be sad, because it is life-changing. And like I said, it's still a journey I'm trying to solve, and I'm sure it is something I will continue to face for the rest of my life.
Yeah, still, I appreciate that, too. And something that I encourage people is to just keep walking it out. You don't always have to know the end result here as well. That's, I guess, the sort of the excitement about a journey. So your journey to curling, okay? You kind of shared that. What was your journey to being a good enough curler to actually make this USA Paralympic team?
I think I'm still a little bit in shock about that. Except that, you know, 2 years ago,
I found
that I was in a chair.
Yeah.
And now I'm about to go to the Paralympics. I just somewhat, you know, my wife and my family tell me I get a little focused on things. And, you know, sometimes it's great and sometimes it's probably a curse. But I get so dedicated to something that I zero in. And kind of when I went to that very first camp with USA Curling, the goal had always been post-Winter Paralympics 2026. We know there was going to be some reworking of the team after that. And my goal was to get myself ready to take a spot. What we didn't anticipate was that it would shift very significantly sooner, and to have the opportunity to go to the first selection camp in August. And pretty much since March, I have been traveling at least once a month.
Yeah.
As you are aware, while we do have fantastic curling clubs in Montana, it is all on arena ice, hockey ice. It's not exactly the best ice to curl on.
Not the most consistent of ice to curl on, yes.
We certainly take it. It's all we have.
Uh-huh.
But when you're training at a national level, I had to go to ice, and that was Denver and Seattle and Cape Cod. I've got a mixed doubles partner out in Cape Cod, and so constantly on the go. And then since August, we had our first selection camp in Minnesota, I've been out to Minnesota twice now, Indiana, Wisconsin. I'm currently in Wisconsin. We had a competition last weekend, and we have training camp this week, so I've been gone for the last week. I come home on Sunday. I've been out to Switzerland, so it's just been a constant on the go. And I'd watch a lot of curling on the TV, and I practice at home when I'm there, because without having ice, I have to find ways to continue to better myself and keep climbing the curve, because I'm still in shock. I think there was, you know, great competition and other people that I felt deserved to be on the team. And so I just want to prove that I've worked hard to earn my spot and to continue to represent myself and Montana and my family as we go forward. So working as hard as I can and just having a vacation home back in Montana right now.
Yeah. We're back with Katie Verderber. She is a Paralympian. She's with Team USA, the wheelchair mixed curling. Be heading over to Italy. It begins, I think, March 4th, if I saw it. It's not that long, honestly, Katie. Thanks for coming on. I want to get into your team, and I want to get, who's this skip, and what position do you shoot? And I want to give a shout-out as well to the Missoula Curling Club, because without that club in Missoula, I'd know nothing about curling, and it's a fascinating sport and very, very strategic once you get past learning how to curl.
Yeah, certainly. We often say it's like chess on ice. It is extremely, a lot of strategy goes into it and for looking to the next shot and anticipating what the other team will do. And so our skip, Matt Toombs, he's out of Wisconsin. This will be his second time going to the Paralympics. He's been the skip of Team USA for a number of years now. Fantastic guy. Really is encouraging and just what you envision in a leader and a captain of a team. You know, when you talk about the skip of curling, it's usually your leader, your captain, your experienced player who's going to come in. Not only do they call the game and the strategy throughout the entire draw, they also have the job of getting the last rocks at the end of every end, or like an inning in baseball. He's the last one to shoot, and it's kind of always the goal is to set that end up so the skip can come up and make the shot and get us the points. And so it's an incredible amount of pressure in addition to the strategy of the game. And so Matt, we are so fortunate to have him and his experience. And then I shoot lead, sometimes second. Our other lead is Oyuna, and she is from Minnesota. It'll also be her second time going to the Paralympics, but both her and Matt, their first time was in Beijing in 2022, which was during COVID. So it was a little bit of a different experience. There was no crowd. And so this is going to be the first time we're going to be able to go over as a team together and have family and friends and supporters. So they're really looking forward to that. And Oyuna, she's been on the team, like I said, for a significant amount of years, an incredible shooter, very intelligent. She reads the ice better than anybody I know. And so I'm so fortunate to get to learn from her. And then aside from myself, Dan Rose from Denver and Sean O'Neill, my doubles partner from Cape Cod, it'll be the three of our first time going to the Paralympics, and we're all very close. And so it's exciting that we get experience this together for the first time. But like I said, Missoula Curling Club, I'm a member of the Last Chance Curling Club in Helena. And so I attempt to get on ice there when I'm home and it's not super late at night and I don't have to do something the next day. But I would encourage anybody to get out and check out your local clubs in Montana, even arena ice. It's an amazing sport. It's an incredible friendship. The spirit of curling really does ring true, and we're very, very fortunate to start that process in Montana. And hopefully, you know, the big push is to get some dedicated ice soon.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I've only got a minute left here, and I know I want to, you know, have you reiterate your message as well. But I got a curling question. Are you guys an aggressive team? Do you like to wait a little bit and see how the ice folds or unfolds?
Yeah, it kind of depends on who we're playing. You know, every team has some of their own tells. China, they often like to hit immediately. And so if we can force China into a game of draws, we're likely going to come out on top. So it does change given whatever country we're playing at the time.
Reiterate your message. I've only got 30 seconds, and I want people to hear it again.
Yeah, I think it's just important to know that there's more to life. And even with an illness or disability, I really would encourage, and I hope I can serve as an advocate to get out there and do things. Montana does have programs I'm a big advocate for that. Reach out to me, reach out to your local hospitals. There's a lot of resources out there, and all you have to do is just get up. And once you get up and off the couch once, it'll change your life.
That's Katie Verderber, Team USA.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.